Today on Seculo, shocking evidence, cell phone records released in Fonnie Willis disqualification case.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, this is breaking news. There's been new filing by attorneys for President Trump in Georgia, raising new questions about the relationship between the two prosecutors. Of course, we're talking about Nathan Wade and Fonnie Willis, the district attorney, who appeared to make at least 35 visits to the Hapeville neighborhood where Fonnie Willis was living before the district attorney hired him to lead Fulton County's election interference prosecution for about $700,000. He testified last week under oath that he had been to her place no more than 10 times before he was hired in November of 2021. This shows 35 visits. They both testified that their relationship didn't become romantic until 2022, and that they did not spend the night together. But in the filings, we also see Andy Economo is joining us. The timestamps on the filings, he was leaving late at night, Andy, and he was, he was arriving there late at night and then leaving the Willis condo early in the morning.
That's right.
That brings into question again how many times they lied under oath last week.
That's right. We can begin to count the times, and each time that you lied is a count of perjury. But what happened was he was in East Cobb County, which is north of the city of Atlanta proper, and she was living at a condo in Hapeville, Georgia, which is near the airport in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. That's a 32-mile run, and in Atlanta traffic, it takes a long time, so you don't go and come easily. But on one occasion, September 11, 21, he got at her condo in Hapeville. This is September 11, 2021. He got there at 3:28 a.m. and then could be seen arriving in East Cobb at 4:05 a.m. And then on another occasion on 29th of November 2021, he got a call from her at 11:32 p.m. He gets at her condo in Hapeville. Remember, Clayton County, 32 miles away, at 12:43 a.m. in the morning, and stays there till 5 a.m. in the morning.
The affidavit also says that Willis and Wade each called each other more than 2,000 times during the first 11 months of 2021, exchanged just less than 12,000 text messages. But again, Andy, what this really goes to is under oath lying about their personal relationship, the $700,000, I repaid him in cash, we went on trips. We all understood this was getting more and more salacious. This shows just how much time they were spending together, how serious this was, and that it does contradict what they testified to under oath. This is using, of course, a cell phone data that is data that's used in court all the time by prosecutors and by police to figure out people's locations. So now they say they're going to respond. I mean, how do you respond and say, well, we never spent the night together? And he was coming there at 10:45 at night, and his phone was there till 5 in the morning.
She's backed herself into a corner, and so is he.
I mean, does at this point, do you just remove yourself if you're her?
You know, if I were her, that would be the right thing to do. That would
hopefully not get criminally charged.
Yeah, just say,
you know what, this got out of control.
It got out of control. I'm a human being. I made a terrible mistake. I'm withdrawing from the case. My office is being withdrawn from the case. Governor, appoint another prosecutor. I'm sorry I did it. You know, it's what happened. But I don't think Fonnie Willis is that kind of person. I think she's going to persist until the end.
Somebody is in serious trouble, as the House Judiciary Committee just tweeted. So this is getting Washington, D.C.'s attention. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is joining us next segment of the broadcast. We're actually going to ask him about this. There's also news. Surprise, surprise. As I said on Newsmax yesterday, most people would probably get an extension if you had to put $400 million together for bond as you were appealing so you could appeal your case, your civil fraud case. Donald Trump denied. So he's down to 24 days. To get that together. Remember, you have to get that together before you can even appeal. That includes $19 million to a bond company that you probably will never get back, an additional $400 million in assets in cash. We'll talk about that with Mike Pompeo. So, again, the New York legal system being very fair to President Trump. We'll be right back on Seculo. Chris Secchio, former Secretary of State and senior attorney with us here at ACLJ. Mike Pompeo is joining us now by phone. And Secretary Pompeo, I did want to go to you first on this breaking news out of Atlanta, because we're seeing, you know, an absolute legal assault on who is the likely Republican presidential candidate, and Donald Trump, who you worked for as a Secretary of State and CIA director. And we have now learned in the matter out of Georgia, which got a lot of attention last week, about the prosecutor, the DA there, and the special counsel she brought in. And there was a whole hearing about that, their personal relationship, the amount of money that he was paid, and whether or not she was reimbursing in cash. And now it looks like they've been caught, under oath a few times last week, making statements that cell phone data is refuting. Like, instead of saying, you know, maybe I went over to apartment 10 times, it was 35 times. Never spent the night except for, you've got his phone there at night, and then you have it leaving in the morning. You know, I'm hoping, Secretary Pompeo, that this is the beginning of some of this war on Donald Trump, if you want to call it lawfare, this absolute war on the leading Republican candidate for president, beginning to crumble.
Well, Jordan, what they've done in these legal cases, certainly the case down in Georgia that's led by Fannie Willis, but some of the others as well, if they've literally undermined the central pillars of our republic, of our democratic system, by using laws that have never been enforced before, bringing cases that are just based on absolute nothing, and trying to undermine, to try and take resources, money, time, all things away from campaigning against the candidate they want to be president. This is so inconsistent with the American tradition. It's so deeply abhorrent. And so your point is well taken. I too hope. I hope we're starting to see that, if anybody watched some of the testimony that she provided last week, this is a fantasy prosecution. And you can now see that pieces of what they built it upon are beginning to fall down. And I think that's probably going to turn out to be true in New York and Georgia. And I hope that it's so. And I hope most importantly, I hope the American people get a chance to see that with absolute clarity, so they can see what the Democrat Party machinery has done to undermine the central constitutional pillars of our democracy.
Yeah, I mean, we know there's going to be a hearing next week with a closing statement by the defendants who have brought this motion to have her removed as the lead attorney, Ann Wade, and then under Georgia's rules, then a new DA would be appointed to oversee this. And again, they could continue with the case, but they could also decide this is a mess and just drop all of it. There's also a meeting with one of the key witnesses who took a lot of liberties with what it means to, again, attorney-client privilege. So the judge is doing that next week. This explains a little bit more, too, about why this hearing from now 2 weeks ago is going into week three, because I think it's, you know, all beginning to crumble. Though you did mention New York as well, Secretary Pompeo. I don't want to go to that, because news there, I predicted it yesterday, that in most cases, if you ask for an extension on a bond in a civil case where, you know, you've got to put together maybe $400 million, you would get the extension if you said, hey, these are the reasons why, you know, we need the extension to do this, X, Y, and Z. And of course, when you're Donald Trump and you've got now 24 days left to do it before they can start actually technically beginning to try and seize a building, you get denied.
Jordan, that is simply another example of them using unprecedented action, right? When literally no one, even liberal publications, are writing, hey, we've never seen anybody prosecuted for providing, you know, the valuations of properties that we haggle about with a bank when there's no victim. Now another example where they're literally applying the law in a one-off way that demonstrates that this is a political prosecution. It's tragic. It's certainly tragic for former President Trump. It is indecent. But when you think about the ramifications for our system, for the rule of law in America, the whole world is watching what's taking place and the way that this New York prosecutor has acted and the judge acted in that case. I hope this all crumbles when it gets to appeal. I hope they're saner, more rational. I don't mean this politically. I mean, people who value our systems and institutions, I hope they get a hold of this and throw this all out. But the pain that is happening in the middle of an American election to undermine these institutions, it just breaks my heart, Jordan. It is so unprecedented and so unfathomable.
Yeah. I want to get to a little bit of foreign policy with you as well. We saw Prime Minister Netanyahu, he released in writing a plan for Gaza after the war, which I think is very interesting because, you know, some of the interesting things about Ukraine and what's happened with Russia that you've said too is that we don't get a lot even out of our own, you know, White House about what is kind of like plans. What do you want to do when you get to, you succeed in what you hope in pushing back against the Russians? Or and even though, you know, the Russians have been kind of clear what they want, but I think they'd be happy with this continued conflict. But here in this situation, he's put together kind of this five-part plan. Is what a complete demilitarization of Gaza, IDF freedom of operation to do that, that Israel will control the border between Gaza and Egypt, de-radicalize the education and religious institution in Gaza with the help of other Arab nations. So we're not trying to say that Israel is going to do that. And then a replacement of UNRWA. I mean, I think that's kind of in order of likely how things would have to happen if ultimately you want to restore Palestinian kind of sovereignty over the Gaza Strip. I think rushing into just throwing the Palestinian Authority into control, basically what I've heard Secretary Pompeo, just to kind of put it onto one thing, is everybody who says they think there should be this Palestinian state created immediately after the war, yes, ask them who should be in charge, and they have no names. They have no one to name. I mean, you can't have a new state created if you don't have any leaders even ready to be trained to be leaders.
Jordan, this is the classic challenge that the Israelis have faced in the West Bank as well, in Judea and Samaria. There's no counterparty. Everybody says, well, let's sign a peace deal. Well, with whom? When the very persons who might well be elected or have stolen power are people who are trying to kill you to do more October 7th. I've seen what Prime Minister Netanyahu put out. I think that structurally, none of that's a reach. All of that is logical for Israel to protect its own security and its own sovereignty. It presents a pathway that, frankly, is not only good for the Israeli people, by the way, the Israeli Jews, the Israeli Christians, the Israeli Arabs, but it's also good for the Palestinian people. It will create the space where, over time, civil society can begin to be rebuilt, and then ultimately, Israel can reduce some of those demands in a way that is good for the people of Gaza and good for the people of Israel as well.
I wanted to go to Russia. We saw the opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, ultimately, while he was jailed, and of course that's sparked outrage, but now his death in prison in Russia. The relationship now between Putin and the United States, we know that the Biden administration has talked about additional sanctions. I mean, what happens next there when you're already engaging in a conflict where you are providing the majority of the assistance to the other party in that conflict, Ukraine, and now you've got this situation directly with an opposition leader, and it seems like Putin is just not afraid of the Biden team or of what plans they may have for him, even though they are funding that conflict.
Well, Jordan, it's tragic what happened to Navalny, but I think it demonstrably tells us exactly who Putin is. The destruction of this opposition leader, now his death, is something that is deeply consistent with the old Soviet, now Russian, mindset. We should be mindful there's still Americans held. The Wall Street Journal reporter, Paul Whelan, both still being held. And this administration has failed to deter Vladimir Putin adequately. I don't think there's much that they'll likely do in response to this. I'm sure they'll issue a handful of sanctions, but they'll prove to be meaningless in the sense of I can't imagine that they'll be sufficient to convince Putin to change his ways. That's true for continuing to take wrongfully detained persons. And second, I don't think they're going to be able to deter him in Ukraine. I hope they get this right. That deterrence has to be restored, and frankly, it needed to be done 2 years ago.
Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate being part of our team at the ACLJ. We appreciate being a senior counsel for global affairs and for jumping on that breaking news as well out of these cases in Georgia and New York. Folks, let me encourage you. A lot of people watching right now on YouTube and on places like Rumble, but if you're on YouTube, we want you to subscribe there. I think there's 3,900 people watching there on YouTube today. So subscribe and like, so you make sure you're getting the show, and make sure you know that with these kind of lot of legal issues coming up soon. I haven't even gotten to it yet, Andy, but we're looking at the Supreme Court could potentially this afternoon release a decision on the stay involving the immunity case in President Trump, Jack Smith. I mean, they can issue decisions and opinions whenever they want. The next time that's likely to happen is on Monday, and that would be the 14th Amendment case, which is taking longer than people have thought.
I thought that opinion would have been written and published by now. It does seem to have been taken longer. And I don't know why, but it's up to the Supreme Court, as you said, to issue their opinions when and if they want to. Sometimes on a Friday afternoon, you get something you didn't expect. That could very well happen today.
It could. And I think, again, you look towards this afternoon and especially Monday. And of course, we're checking that for you at the ACLJ. So that's why you want to subscribe. That's why you want to subscribe to if you're watching through YouTube, and like, because that, again, we can't plan that to happen just between when we're on the air, you know, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Those things can happen throughout the morning and evening as well. So do that if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on Rumble, you know what to do to subscribe to our page and to be part of our page there. We'll be right back on Seculo. Take your calls to 1-800-684-3110. All right, welcome back to Seculo. So we've got one of our good friends in here with us, Jeremiah Johnson, who's got a new book out, Body of Proof, A Study on the Resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to get to that. He's going to be with us for the rest of the show, but we are going to get right to it, because if you're just joining us like on YouTube or Rumble or on the broadcast, just some, you know, breaking news on some Trump legal world. It's not out of the Supreme Court yet. We still are awaiting two major decisions out of the Supreme Court. One on the 14th Amendment case. That looks more likely to happen on Monday. I say that, then they'll end up issuing the opinion right like this afternoon. But that's Monday. They have oral arguments. They usually release those opinions before the oral arguments on Monday morning. Now, on applications for like a stay, that could happen on a Friday afternoon. And that would be involving the Jack Smith case, where Donald Trump has applied for a stay on the immunity case so that they can handle those issues as they proceeded. And so, again, will they get the stay? The 14th Amendment, which most people expected that case to come out sooner, because Super Tuesday is March 5th, and people right now, including the state we live in, have a few more days. They're actually voting. They have a few more days to vote early, and that case is still not yet out about whether or not a state can just remove Donald Trump from the ballot. So, I mean, you would imagine that would be by Monday. But now we've got more news, Logan, out of Atlanta.
Right.
And this involves Fonnie Willis, involves Nathan Wade there as well. They're in some serious trouble. They were testifying under oath about their relationship. Donald Trump's attorneys, who I know and our dad knows as well, Steve Sadow, put forward information that directly contradicts their under oath testimony last week.
Yeah,
that was under oath.
There's a lot of details coming out now about cell phone records and how they can be used. I'm sure if you've heard the first segment, you got a bit more details on what it was, but essentially cell phone records being tracked, saying that they did not line up with the timeline of events that they said under oath. I will tell you this. If there's about, you know, there's thousands of people watching right now on YouTube. We know YouTube has been serving this content to a lot more people, which we appreciate, by the way. We appreciate that. Rumble's always great, but YouTube has been serving this to a lot of people, so I know a lot of you are brand new to this broadcast. What I'm going to ask you to do is subscribe to the channel, because if you like this, if you're here to get these kind of updates, we do this every day throughout the day. So it's not just this live show. We put out, you know, a dozen videos a day or so of incredible content from our team, whether it's clips of this show or other things. So make sure you stay tuned right here. All you need to do, subscribe. We appreciate it. So do that right now on the ACLJ channel. If you're one of the new people who are watching, and we were able to see yesterday, Jordan, with just on YouTube alone, over 100,000 people watched on YouTube alone. And what we can see through the back end data is so many of those people have never seen our channel before. So welcome. We've been doing this show for decades at this point, but we're happy to have new people like you. So please join us, subscribe.
ACLJ is a legal organization. We do a lot of legal work, and you may know some of us from the legal work we did for President Trump, whether that was the Mueller investigation. So we represented President Trump as his personal attorneys, and the first impeachment, as well as three U.S. Supreme Court cases during his first term. Those were also involving issues about when you can bring the charges, when you can get the tax records. It's all about the harassment. So in the Willis case, just so you know and get the facts one more time, and we're going to keep going through it throughout the broadcast, they testified that last week that, well, Nathan Wade, the special counsel she paid $700,000 to, had only been to her condo about 10 times and had never spent the night there. Well, we now have cell phone data from his cell phone that he made 35 visits there and multiple times there, got there late at night, and the phone did not leave until the morning. So you've got two situations there where they both were testifying to this, and they also were testifying about the dates of their relationship. Look, they brought this on themselves by her hiring him for an exorbitant amount of money, $700,000. He has no specialty in RICO cases. And they went under oath last week. Remember, she stormed in the room to go under oath last week with this testimony. And so now the questions are, does she just drop out? Does she ultimately, it looks like she's going to get removed. If this all comes out to be correct and she can't refute this, I don't know how a judge keeps her on this case. And then a new DA comes in, and do they really want to prosecute this case anymore? So is this the first one we may see actually fall? If you got questions about it, 1-800-684-3110. But I do. Jeremiah Johnson is a great friend of ours. He's going to be with us for the rest of the broadcast. He's got a new book out that it follows a book. This is the guide that goes with it. It's called, I've got it in my hands now, Body of Proof, A Study on the Resurrection of Jesus. You can get it at Amazon. Just The Body of Proof, A Study on the Resurrection of Jesus. And Jeremiah, it's an interesting time to bring it up, but it's pretty amazing to us. You were telling us that you attended our staff radio broadcast meeting before to talk about this topic. And it was surprising to a lot of us, but not then when we thought about it, that this is some of the least talked about, least preached about topic in Christian churches across the country and world, the actual resurrection of Christ, even though it's central to the Christian faith.
That's right. The American Center of Law and Justice equips us to have a Christian worldview, to vote our conscience, and to live with a Christian world and life view. That's what I love about Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow. You guys equip us to have a thinking faith. The center of a Christian worldview is belief in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet it's understudied, it's underpreached, and we see that. I have 5 kids, okay? And by the way, I have triplets who are 7 years old, you guys know that, so I haven't slept in 7 years. I know all about Gen Z, and only 33% of Gen Z Christians right now think that the resurrection of Jesus is an essential belief. Only
it's not Gen Z individuals, that's Gen Z
Christians
identifying themselves as Christians, but don't believe that the resurrection. So what is the faith about that?
Exactly. There is, as C.S. Lewis said, to preach Christianity is to preach the resurrection. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, 300 references of the resurrection. So I want to help you, believers, be equipped to have a better resurrection-centric faith. Now, the really cool silver lining here, this book would have never come to be without the American Center of Law and Justice. We filmed at all the resurrection sites in Jerusalem because Jay Sekulow connected us. You all do all kinds of work. I know you represent
our office
in Israel. Connected us with his Beatitude Theophilus, who gave us the carte blanche, you guys, to film inside the resurrection tomb of Jesus. I don't know another scholar who's done this. And guess what? It was only a few days before October 7th. So don't tell me God's hand was not in this when we filmed Body of Proof.
You said something interesting, too, and this is true. A lot of the people who would have probably made an Israel trip in the next few years might not be making that trip.
That's right.
And now this can kind of take them there.
That's right.
I feel like that's when you're there is when you feel the reality of this history. Like you see, it doesn't feel as old. It doesn't seem like it was so far long ago. And you see that this is okay. I mean, like, you've got sites, you've got locations. This is historic. Yes, you've got to believe that if that resurrection occurred or not, but it's just a different feeling. Unfortunately, it's going to probably be a few years until regular tours begin back to Israel.
Right.
Maybe longer.
I mean, you just had the first American airline
flying
back to Israel since October. Other than that, it's just been trips that have been specifically sanctioned or Israeli airlines.
Body of Proof and the Study on the Resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
Again, it's available on Amazon right here. This kind of can take them there. And they get to then teach this. Either they work through it themselves or with like a small group?
Both. They can do both. And here's the really cool part. Thanks to you guys again giving us permission, we give you literally by the hand access to the tomb of Lazarus. John 11, Lazarus come forth. Dominus Flevit, where the first Christians were resurrected on the Mount of Olives. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Garden Tomb, and the Emmaus Road. There's a code in the back of each book, so you don't need to buy additional videos. It's all on demand. There's a code in the back of every book where you can watch it and use it, I hope, as a Bible study. We're only 37 days from Easter, from the Super Bowl of the Christian faith, and I hope you'll go to Israel with us through the Bible study.
Yeah, you should definitely take a look at it. We're going to keep discussing this. If you are brand new right here, a lot of people are even commenting who are just joining us broadcast right now, and you want to know about the topic because you're like, what does this have to do with the topic of what I clicked on? We'll be right back in just a minute, and we will recap that here at the beginning. So for those brand new, join us, subscribe. We'll be right back.
Yeah. keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so there is some major breaking news in the Trump illegal dramas that are playing out across the country. So let's start with the breaking news in Georgia. If you're just joining us, if you're listening or watching on one of the platforms, and listen, this is something that happened literally like 10 minutes before we went on the air, but we can break it down for you because we've been following it very closely. Out of Georgia, of course, you had this separate hearing of whether or not Fani Willis and Nathan Wade, but specifically Willis as DA, should be removed from the case, that she is compromised, that she brought in Nathan Wade, the $700,000 that was inappropriate, that because they had this personal relationship, and then they went on. Then they actually testified under oath. She stormed in the room one day last week, remember? And they didn't bring her back the next day because she wanted to set the record straight. One of the things they wanted to set the record straight on is how many times did you actually like visited Miss Willis's apartment? Well, the attorneys for President Trump asked Wade this last week, but now that's before we got this info. I want you to hear the questioning. This is, again, Steve Sadow asking Wade about how many times did you like go to her apartment? Because we know that they did have the personal, now, you know, a private relation, this other relationship while he was going through this divorce. Take a listen.
Would you say that was frequent? When I say frequent, do you think prior to November 1st of 2021, you were at the condo more than 10 times?
No, sir.
So it'd be less than 10 times?
Yes, sir.
So if phone records were to reflect that you were making phone calls from the same location as the condo before November 1st of 2021, and it was on multiple occasions, the phone records would be wrong?
If phone records reflected that, yes, sir.
They'd be wrong. Okay.
Okay. Not a very good attorney, Wade, because Logan...
Well, clearly, they knew something that we didn't.
Sadow knew what he had.
Clearly.
And Wade wasn't thinking at the time. No. He stuck with his less than 10. And now we have at least 35 visits with his phone, getting there at night. And most of the time, it also contradicts, they both said they never spent the night there. They've got multiple times where the phone got there at night, like at some and point, did not leave until the morning.
At some point, you know, these people's personal lives, but you go, when is enough? You know, and when is enough to just wrap this all up?
Well, I would wonder this, and I did pose this to Andy Economo as DA, if she actually thinks that there's any merit in this case. I mean, she tried like 16 people in this, Logan. It's not just President Trump. Some of these people have actually pled out because they just didn't want to be part of this anymore. Who, by the way, who could be restored to justice? Does she just quit this case? Does she drop
the case?
That's
what I mean. At what point do you just say enough is enough?
I mean, she removed herself from the case and say, obviously, I'm not sure she's the type who does. She's the type who stormed into a room, which she didn't have to last week. Yeah. She could have prepared herself.
Well, I think you have to weigh your options at this point and go, what's more damaging to your career?
Her career is over.
I'm saying to back off.
I think.
Yes, but there are ways to spin this.
Yeah, don't try.
And even if it's just a media career. So what you'd rather do is run the clock out.
I just don't think she's
going to
be running for governor of Georgia now.
Probably not.
Yeah, your political
probably
career.
Probably not. But you can figure out a way to, like, if you're against the conservatives, against Trump.
Oh, sure.
There are ways you can parlay that to a career. We've seen that. Look at half the MSNBC commentators. They're all the people that we would have said the same thing, whether it's Strzok and Page and all these people who show up every day like everything is normal. But so I do think there is a bit of that as well. But this data, clearly they knew about it. We heard that from the soundbite there. And now it's going to play out very interestingly. But I think there is something, Jordan, we only got a minute left in this segment, then we definitely want to refocus here. Tell the people, though, why this matters to the big part of the case. In the sense of, essentially, we know why this part's controversial, but how does it actually affect the Trump case?
I mean, she could drop the entire case because it's the whole case has been compromised. The DA could quit. A new DA would be appointed and say, this is all done. This started off with a lie. So when the DA starts the case off with a lie, I'm not going to try and reset this up for her and re-prosecute 16 people. Again, restarting, this would have to all restart if she's removed. While President Trump is likely, I mean, you know, he's going to win South Carolina primary tomorrow. The question is, does he win it by, you know, 35 or 40 points? You know, and then you get into Super Tuesday and it should be basically over at that point. So what prosecutor is going to bring that? Who's going to take on that case? No one. So this could be the end of the Georgia prosecution. Now, in New York, they said no extension. You got to put up your $400 million. He's got now 24 days to do it, or we're going to start seizing your assets. We'll talk about that more when we come back on Seculo. All right, so if you weren't following, because I threw it in quickly at the end of that last segment, because there's two legal breaking things with the Donald Trump world. One is not as shocking. I said it on Newsmax at 6:40 in the morning yesterday. I said, you know, most people, when you file for like an extension in a civil case to put up your bond, most people probably would get it. You might not get as much time as you wanted, but, you know, somewhere in between, at least you get a real a judge to really consider it. And when you're talking about having to put up $400 million, and right now you got 24 days to do it, adding 30 more days to that, it's not like you're saying you're trying to do it in 6 months. You said, I could do this. I just need 30, give you 30 more days so I could put the right assets together, the right the assets plus some cash together. Because to get that bond, you've also got to pay about $19 million to a bond company that you can't get back. So the great thing about the persecution of Donald Trump is they could lose that case in New York and he's out $20 million right away. He never gets back. So when people say, like, he's running for president because, you know, I saw Tulsi Gabbard say it's a CPAC because only for himself. I mean, he's literally, he lost $20 million even if he wins ultimately that case in New York just to get the bond. And they said yesterday, surprised that Judge Erdogan said, no, you don't get an extension. You've got to put up the $400 million of cash and assets, and now it's 24 days, or I'm going to let Letitia James start seizing properties, and she wants 40 Trump Wall Street. And how bold they are about it, too, because of the politics. Then we see the Fannie Willis news that we talked about there. They lied about how many times they were together. It looks like the cell phone data is refuting that by about 25 to 26 times. They lied about spending the night together, the contact, thousands of text messages, thousands of phone calls. So we know the judge has got a hearing on Monday with Wade's former partner who tried to claim a lot of privilege last week. We also know that both sides get to present a final argument in this. It's not, again, it's like the defense is actually presenting, you know, the final case. I don't know if we even get there next week, or does Willis just say, I'm out. I'll recuse myself from this case. Then a new DA would get put forward. And I'm not sure they'd have to restart everything from zero. Her entire office would be removed. So they'd have to start from zero, and then you get towards way too close to political interference. So again, this news is very important because not just to Donald Trump, but to all those other people who, again, are facing the political persecution of being, legal persecution of being associated with or working for Donald Trump. So we will keep you updated on it. A lot of people watching, and Logan, we told people to keep subscribing. This is where to go because we know there's two cases coming out of the Supreme Court. One is going to be on the stay on the immunity decision involving a post-presidency. Remember out of that D.C. Court of Appeals, he said the day you are no longer president, you no longer have any kind of immunity from decisions you made. And that was so broad. And then also the 14th Amendment case out of Colorado, more likely that's on a Monday, this Monday, if at the earliest. You know, we're all about that here. This is a place to get the news on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We keep you updated on this, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on in Israel. But what you can do is click that subscribe button if you're brand new to the broadcast. I know a lot of you are to this show. We do this every day if you're live right now, Monday through Friday. So we'd love to have you. We also upload continually throughout the day. So if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or on Facebook, do whatever it is you do. Like, follow, share, do that whole deal. We really appreciate it. But speaking of Israel, that is part of the discussion here. That's a good segue. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for that because we are talking about Body of Proof, your book. I've read it. I think a lot of people who are kind of maybe fed up or a little upset with how sort of the modern church has moved on a lot of topics. We talked about this morning is it's not even that the church, because I think you probably have a lot of evangelical churches that outside of Easter, like you said, probably don't want to discuss this because it's like discussing the end times. Like, you know, a lot of pastors are like, not necessarily, you wouldn't think of it in that way because the resurrection is such a key part. Obviously, there's translations for a lot of things that you can believe or not believe, but this one's kind of key.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, the modern church, they don't refuse to talk about it, but it's certainly not something coming up every week.
Yeah, they're breathless, winded, anemic, however you want to say it. Progressive Christianity, woke Christianity has so seeped into, and they're Bible scholars who don't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus. The thing that secular media asks me the most is, now, Jeremiah, can you be a Christian if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Surely you can. And I have to remind them, no, you can't. You cannot be a Christian if you don't believe in the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. I didn't say that. A guy named St. Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15:17. In a devastating passage, Paul said, if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, we're still in our sins. We have no hope.
And if you're struggling with that, that's why your book is here also. I mean, that's the point. It's because I understand that is a heady topic to deal with. And we deal with these topics a lot on this broadcast. Part of what I do here is talk to these guys to say, all right, let's sit and explain this to people. Let them understand, because it's not like our audience is stupid. And no. I've always treated them as if they are smart and they understand. We don't have to dumb things down. And your book does that. It's easy to understand. It's easy to read. But it's not like you're not going to get a wealth of information and, you know, in some ways, a wealth of ammunition for when people come to you to say, well, I don't.
Exactly. You're going to get real-time evidence. And this is where I want to thank God for the American Center of Law and Justice. And I want to say why Audrey and I support the ACLJ. Over 10 years ago, do you guys remember back when Lois Lerner was not getting tax-exempt status to conservative organizations? Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ believed in me. In Christian Thinker Society, got our nonprofit status. And y'all, here I am 12 years later, and God is using Christian thinkers all over the world. This is book number 15 since then, you guys. That's and wild. I'm on the front lines as an apologist. Doesn't mean I'm apologizing for anything, no. But I'm equipping, like you said, your thinking audience out of a conversant faith. And I would not be sitting here today without the American Center of Law and Justice, and specifically Jay and Pam Sekulow, who believed in me, believed in our ministry. And now all you guys do every day is talk about worldview. And so the center of a Christian worldview is a solid belief in the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. So I want to, but I'm a visual learner like you, and I wanted to actually, we had two drones. You can't fly them all over Israel because they just fall out of the sky at certain places. But we had two drones. We had four cameras. And again, thanks to the ACLJ, we were able to film at the most, not just the most sacred, the epicenter of Christianity. And some of you have never been to the land of Israel. Perhaps you've been and you didn't go to some of these places. You can do that through my Bible study.
I was about to say, so that video content, people are asking, you're filming that. Where does that play into the book?
Absolutely. It's throughout it. Thanks to my wife, Audrey, we have 2-minute truths throughout the book where you can actually just look at it in 2 minutes or less. You can show it to your kids. It's fun. It's exciting. It's fast movement. It's not overly produced. I'm sweating because guess what? There is no AC in a first century tomb.
It is the Middle East.
And I'm walking on the road to Emmaus, my favorite spot. A lot of people don't know where the road to Emmaus is. We had to take a Hummer over a mountain. Yeah. And it sounds extravagant, but we were bouncing back and forth to get there. There's Roman milestones, and it's the very place where Cleopas and the other disciples are walking with Jesus. Guys, we're 37 days out from Easter, and this is something that Christianity doesn't exist without the resurrection.
And you need this, because look, I look at my Instagram feed, and there are a lot of people kind of preaching the opposite of what you're preaching.
Exactly.
And I get those served to me all the time, and sometimes I'll watch them because it's like, well, I at least want to know what the other side of the conversation is. But the problem is, I don't see, other than you, many people on the side we all grew up on. And now, again, with the detail work that you've done in this book, so definitely take a look at it.
And the cool thing is, you know, again,
the videos too that come with this. Because, I mean, this comes with the book.
Yes, all the
body
clips.
Approved. So if you go again, encourage you to get this. Is the workbook, the study on the resurrection of Jesus. You go and you get this, and you're not just getting the workbook, but you're getting access with the codes. Right. Tell people about it.
Absolutely. So at the back, all of the videos, we have 11 episodes on pace, on demand. You can put them on your phone. You can cast them for your Bible studies at Prestonwood Baptist Church, where I'm one of the pastors. We're doing this throughout all of our life groups. And here's the cool thing. Unlike any other religion in the world, Christianity's closest cousin is archaeology. I mean, Islam claims the Jewish temple never existed. Op-eds like that run in the New York Times. I mean, again, talk about fake news, fake facts, fake history. Christianity actually puts itself to the historical test. And I want to take you there. Go with me by the hand, because this is personal to me. I'm a Christian first and foremost and only because Jesus came out of that grave alive. And we know the very date, you guys. I don't know if y'all know that. I show you the very date, April 5th, AD 33. That tomb was empty. Women saw him. They said he's alive. And so I love John 20. It helps you see and believe.
Yeah. And this again, when you talked about the fact that there are 37% of Gen Z who consider themselves Christian do not believe the resurrection is important.
47% of evangelical Americans don't believe it.
Because they're
Believe the resurrection?
They don't believe the resurrection.
Or they don't think they can explain it to somebody.
They don't believe it.
So the whole idea of faith.
The information to be able to believe it.
But then what is the purpose of, the faith, there isn't a faith that it's just a belief structure. At that point, this is just a moral code.
And that's the
thing. To live by.
A community.
Faith is always defined by its object. I don't faith. I'm like the dad, Lord, help my Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. No, faith is always defined by its object. And the cool thing about Christianity is you have to believe precious little to become a Christian. The deity, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And then after we become a Christian, after we start following Jesus, the rest of our life is figuring it out from there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great. You can pick that up again. It's on Amazon, Body of Proof, and we'll continue. We'll make sure to get the links put up on all our social platforms.
We're going to take your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. If you've got calls about, well, if you've got calls about Body Proof,
we'll take it.
Got calls about the resurrection as well, but maybe Fonnie Willis.
Yeah, I do see a
Donald
lot of
Trump as well. Get your calls in. This is the segment coming up where we will take 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching this right now on YouTube, and this, again, we're live, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You could pick up the phone right now and actually put in a question. So if you, again, if you got a legal question about her, how does this going to work out next week? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we want people to subscribe because we also know there's two big decisions coming out of the Supreme Court, one on the 14th Amendment. Can you disqualify a president? Can a Secretary of State do that?
Yeah, if you just clicked over to hear about what's going on, the updates and the Fonnie Willis case and everything else, stay tuned. We're going to cover that again coming up.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We focused a lot on what's happened out of the Georgia case involving President Trump, about 15 other defendants. And again, I think there's Willis and Wade, they got a lot of explaining to do because they were obviously being set up by Trump's attorneys last week when they decided when Willis, you know, she ran downstairs to bust and said, let me answer some questions. And they were asked about, you know, how many times did you visit with each other? Did you spend the night? No, and never more than 10 times. And then now they've got the cell phone evidence that... And again, this is about 30 to 40 miles apart. So it's not like they lived real close to each other. And you could say like, oh, that was just crossing over. I mean, they were 32 miles apart. If you're kind of like in metro or Atlanta or even in the suburbs, that's a long way in Atlanta. That 30 miles is a long drive. That's an hour drive, unless you're going at, like he did at 3 a.m. back home. Now, he also said it was under 10 times. And they've got 35 times there. I mean, just a lot of problems for her in this, not just the money and the personal relationship that they lied about. They were under oath last week. Remember that. Out of New York, President Trump gets a no on the extension for him to put together the $400 million bond. We've got a call about it. If you want to have questions, 1-800-684-3110. James in Virginia is calling about it. Hey, James, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
My question is, Letitia James seems determined to the point of seizing his property for this ridiculous finding. Does she have a legal right to demand the money prior to the appeals process?
Yeah, in New York, yes. So every state's different. In New York, to appeal the case, you must put up the bond. So the bond here is, it's the $350 million, but you've got to add... there's interest on that. It also goes up each day by penalties. And the bond company, they're going to want about $19 million to even put up the rest some of that bond. So you're talking about somewhere in the $400 million range. For Donald Trump, even billionaires, you know, that's a lot of cash, but you've got assets. So what his team was saying is, can we get an additional 30 days, which would give it about 54 more days from today? I know this because I was on TV yesterday about it. I said, he's probably not going to get this. Most people likely would. It's a civil fraud trial, so it's not a criminal trial in the sense of, you know, you're going to jail for 20 years and you're asking for, can I stay out of jail? No. You're just saying, hey, I will pay this amount, not even questioning the amount, or I'll put that up in bond. Just give us more time. So but he's not. He said no. So now he's got 24 days to do it. So it's going to be a rush for his team to put together that cash and assets. I think it'll be a mix of actual hard dollars and some of those properties. She said the building she would like to seize, which is interesting because, remember, this is the same judge who said, you know, like Mar-a-Lago is worth like $18 million, which, by the way, you can't buy like a one-acre lot in Palm Beach for. But they are saying that, you know, one of his buildings in New York, you know, 40 Wall Street, that would be fine for this $400 million. So in one way, his buildings are worth all these millions. None of the companies that made the loans didn't get repaid. None of the companies had problems, but in New York, they can say, even though you repaid the loan, you your records weren't good. You shouldn't have got the loan, even if you could pay it back. So you've somehow then injured New York, and you owe us hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's the question that always comes up, and I see it in the comments say that, which is, well, where does that money go if no one, if there was no, you know, person that or company that felt defrauded?
The coffers of the New York government.
So with that, of course, it's in their best interest to do this in some ways.
I mean, no, and here's why.
Well, just from a money standpoint.
If you hate Donald Trump politically, maybe.
Okay.
But from a money standpoint, if you're a business capital,
you're keeping a lot of business out of New York.
Guess who's going to second guess putting their company headquarters there?
Yeah.
Well, Donald Trump's not there anymore. Yeah. Guess who's going to think that be large hotels, international companies? If they're going to relook, think, oh my gosh, you know, it's maybe not likely they're going to do this to us, but if they get short on cash, they might. So again, it's a kind of crazy thing that's in that New York law, and it's now known to everyone in the country and world. How they could say, I think they knew this. They could do this with this judge. And like I said, Donald Trump could win this case and still he's out $20 million. For most of us, that would be, you know, we'd be done.
Yeah.
Dead is for life. he's not going to be obviously for $20 million or this $400 million. But again, that's also when people say he's just running for president because he wants to be president for fun. You got to be kidding me. I mean, this prosecution wouldn't have happened. If he didn't decide to run again for president of the United States, no way.
Well, you'll have a lot of people who will never run for president or decide to take any sort of public office because why would you go through this? Why would you torture yourself and your family when you think this is what's going to happen? Yeah, this is what happens in a lot of countries. It happens in a lot of countries worldwide where your political leaders are the political leaders. They're lauded upon. They're the top guys. And then the waves change and then they're imprisoned. And then they're tortured executed. In the streets. You know, this is what happens.
Yeah. And usually their families don't usually even
live
here.
But not here. We're not supposed to do that here.
No, we're not. Let me take this other call real quick. Janice in Tennessee online too. Hey, Janice.
Watch my rumble.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Appreciate what you do for us. My question is, if he does win through the appeal court, can he retrieve his bond money?
Okay. So, if you win the 400-ish million, yes, that's put up in bond. What I'm talking about is you've got to pay the bond company. They got to make some money, right? Because they're putting up this bond. That's good. In this size of a case, that's about $19 to $20 million. That's what's not going to be retrievable. So the $400 million, sure, maybe some attorney's fees, some in there, maybe. Because that's in the millions of dollars too. But again, you're still going to be out probably over $20 million, even if you're absolutely successful in this single case out of New York involving Letitia James. This is different than the Alvin Bragg case as well. Will, do I need to read that tweet again, you said? The House Judiciary Committee? What are they saying? Got it. Okay. So House Judiciary Committee also talking about, you know, Fannie Willis says someone's in trouble. This is a Friday. The question will be, does Fannie Willis stay on this case by Monday afternoon? I don't know. I think that she's going to try. Her office says she's going to try and refute it. We'll see. We also have a good friend with us, Logan. If people are just, you know, coming through this broadcast, Jeremiah Johnson, who's got, by now, if you've been watching the show, you should know, he's got a book out called Body of Proof. And now there's a study guide. You don't have to have the other book, by the way. This is standalone. And this is a standalone guide 37 days before Easter on the resurrection, which, as you found out, is a topic that Christians, and it's just interesting, are maybe the most nervous about because they have the least, I guess, depth of knowledge about, and like they feel like they can't really defend it, and it just has to be faith. So this is a workbook for it.
Absolutely, and it gives you all of the evidence that you need to be totally current on not just the scholarship, but all the extra biblical evidence, all the archaeological discoveries that help undergird our Christian faith. And I take you by the hand. There's no prerequisites needed. I mean, I wrote this for families to do with their kids. I wrote this to be done in college Bible studies and dorm rooms and in class. I had somebody approach me last Sunday at Prestonwood. They said, I've watched it 7 times. I haven't even watched it 7 times. I'm the author, so I don't know how that works. But they loved it, and it's cool because thanks again to the ACLJ, we secured the permission right before the October 7th attack to be able to film at all these different resurrection locations. So he's risen. The promise we're given more than any other is Jesus said, because I live, you'll live also.
You know, as we said too, I mean, people are not going to be able to make those trips. They may have had trips in Israel. The tour trips they're going to happen in the next few years, but they're not happening
not for a while.
Next couple.
Probably
next couple. And this kind of takes you there, because this it's very important for a lot of people why they make that trip in their life.
That's right.
Pilgrimage. To see it, because it makes it words real.
That's right.
You can't really describe it that way. But then with technology we have now, this could,
this book,
again,
which has great video content.
Right. You're not just getting workbook. You're the video content that comes with this book. The codes are in the book.
That's
you
right.
Go to Amazon, Body of Proof, A Study on the Resurrection of Jesus. Jeremiah Johnson, thanks for being with us today on
the
show.
Thank you, guys.
Even with the breaking news. Follow us, folks. We'll come back. There's more breaking news today.